Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1, 13, and 14. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. Appreciate your faith and appreciate your love for the Lord and your commitment to be here today. We truly stand in the grace of God, do we not today? We stand in His blessings, and this is the day the Lord has made. So what shall we do in it? I will rejoice and be glad in it. And on this day, let's remember that God is among us. Let's never forget that. Maybe you've got plans today, or maybe your mind is somewhere else. Maybe your mind is on the loss of the Chiefs this week, or you know, or who knows what, or you've got troubles in your life you're dealing with today. Welcome to humanity, of course. Who knows what? Let's right now remember something very important. It is critical. God is with us. God is participating with us in this worship, and He is an active participant in this worship, and we stand grateful to our God that today we stand in His fellowship and under His great love. The joy that we have, should have in that, should move our hearts every day. I hope that it's joy that you have in your heart at this very moment. If not, maybe you need to do some analyzing about what's going on in your life. Let's remember our prayers for the saints throughout the world, and not just Nicaragua or Guatemala, but throughout the world. May the saints be under the watchful care of God, protecting them and growing their faith. And let's be praying for the world itself. I'd like today to talk about, to the young people really, what God would want for a young person to understand. And really, when we ask that question, it's the same thing He wants anybody to understand. An older person, a younger person as well. But how important it is that when a plant is young, that it gets everything that it needs to be the plant that it should be. You know, many times in Colorado, I was always up in elevation and up at the tree line, and there are some bitter winters once in a while that those tree line trees go through, and you see trees that they didn't have a very good beginning. You can tell they're kind of bent over, and you know, they're just kind of weak. The limbs are off of one side, and you realize that life was kind of tough for a lot of these trees. If only they could have had a better beginning and then go forward with that beginning, look at what they could have been, you know, like a lot of the other trees that are around. And we realize that this is true for every young person as well. God wants to build a foundation for all of us, but He wants to build a foundation for every young person. And I would like to invite every young person, those that might be 50 or 55, well, I'm just teasing, no, I'm not really teasing, but those that might be maybe 25, 20, 15, 10, 7, or 8, pay close attention today, okay? We know Ecclesiastes 12, and I'm not going to talk about Ecclesiastes 12. We just read the scripture reading. You thought that was the first place I was going to go, didn't you? We're not even going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about Timothy in the example as a young man, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. And we're not going to talk about a lot of passages like Proverbs 1, remember the wisdom of your mom and dad, and remember to walk in wisdom and seek her in silver. Well, I guess we did just talk about those things, didn't we? But anyway, we're going to go somewhere else. And I would like for us to just delve into some really, really concrete things that every young person and every older person needs to put into the foundation and to make this part of the core of our being and serving God. One of the things that every younger person must realize, just like every other person, is that Satan is after him. Satan's after you. Don't forget that. I don't want to scare anybody today, but Satan doesn't like you to be happy. Satan doesn't like you happy in your family. He doesn't want you having a smile on your face. He's really out to get you, and we're grateful for a big God that does not let, as long as we live in God, He does not let the big old Satan, who's bigger than we are, to get to us. We have a God that is is our great hero. We have a God that is the magnificent God, the great almighty God to help us. But in James, the first chapter, we have James trying to help us to understand what our sin is all about, and to help us to understand that sometimes we can kind of get caught up on our sin, and we need to beware of what's going on as Satan is trying to attack us. Listen to this. In James chapter 1, verse 13, 12 and 13, he's talking about temptation. God does not tempt us. It is, of course, Satan that tempts us. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when his desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when it is full grown, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now there are two very important words here that he uses. He says that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. What is Satan going to do against every one of you? As a young person, what is Satan going to do? Satan wants to use your desires against you. He's going to use what you like against you. He wants to destroy you and pull you away from God through the things that you like. Listen to what he says right here. He says that we are tempted when we are drawn away by our desires. And these are like fishing and hunting terms right here. And most of you have been fishing at some point in your life, and you know what you're trying to do. You're trying to deceive those fish, right? And if you're a good fisher person, you know, you get stuff on the end of that line that's going to trick those fish into biting down on that hook so that you can reel in that fish, and now you've got him. And that's exactly what Satan is doing to us. Satan uses the same techniques. Just like the fish would see something that he wants, he would bite down on the hook because he's seeing something he wants and doesn't know the hook is in there. So Satan is doing that us. The idea of being drawn away and enticed is this. Thayer tells us that the idea of being drawn away is to draw out. And you ever had an aquarium and you had one or two fish that got into the little castle, you know, the little protective castle, you know, there that you've got in the aquarium, and he wanted to stay there. And he didn't want to come out. And all the other fish are, you know, maybe who knows where they are, but you've got someone that's hidden away. Here's the idea of trying to draw out somebody who might be living in safety. Satan wants to draw you out. Now, when you're out there fishing in a lake or the ocean, and there's a fish that might be, you know, in a little hole or he's kind of protected, the thing you do is you throw something to him that he might desire. And because he desires it, he will consider, I think I will leave my realm of safety to go after what it is that I like. Metaphorically, Thayer tells us that this is to lure forth. In hunting and fishing, as game is lured from its hiding place, so man by lure is allured from the safety of self-restraint to sin. So there's the idea that Satan's going to throw something in front of us that we really want, and he's going to entice us with that. And that's the idea of to bait and to catch by bait. And with To allure with blandishments as far as this pronunciation is concerned. To bait something. Now, we all realize that a fish doesn't usually go after just a bare hook. Now, sometimes you can find some really hungry fish. You just throw hooks in there and you're pulling out the fish. That's not usually the way it happens. I can't even hardly catch a fish with a good lure, let alone through throwing a hook in there. We realize that a fish needs to see something that he really wants before he's going to be tempted to follow after that lure. And so we go to the store and we start looking for lures and we start looking for these things. What would a fish want? Well, of course, lures are designed to catch fishermen. That's the way it goes. But, you know, you're sitting there thinking, how can I catch this fish? I think this fish would like this. I'm going to give that fish what he wants. I'm going to give him something colorful. So here's this lure. It's got a hook in it. But it's got all this little stuff tied to it. It's got all this color on it, you know. And maybe it's got a couple beads on it with a couple of eyes. Or maybe it's in the shape of a fish. Or maybe it's got a little silver spoon on it, you know, to catch the fish's attention. So when it goes through. Because these things are designed on the foundation that fish don't want a bare hook. They're going to want something. They're going to go after something they want. Okay? Here's the idea of being drawn away and enticed. Every fisherman throws that in there, throws the lure into the water, wanting to entice that fish by something that the fish will want. And that was always the key. My granddad was a great fisherman. I've stunk at being a fisherman all of my life. I'm just a terrible fisherman. But he knew what fish wanted. And he'd go sometimes through five or six things until he finally discovered exactly what the fish wanted. And he always had his string was always full of fish. That's the way that he worked. Satan's going to work this way with us. He's going to work on these things that we really want. And so he's going to work on you by the things that you want. Do you want your friends to remain your friends? Do you know what Satan is going to do? He's going to try to bring you into sin and hook you by the things that you want. Now, you want your friends, right? But maybe your friends want to do the wrong things, and maybe they want to pull you into what they're doing, but you want their friendship, right? You see, Satan is going to work against you. Satan is going to give you what you want, but he's going to try to destroy you. And up front, we always come back to this, that to be with God is to always think about those things that are the right things, not just about the things that I want. God comes above even my own friendships. What is the right thing to do? But you're not alone if you're a young person and you want to fit into your friends and you want to have, you know, all those social connections, because that never goes away. Someone's 40 or 50 or 70 years old. They're still seeking for the same thing. And you know, the temptations are still there as well. This is throughout all of life that Satan will try to hook us through our great desire to have relationships in this life. And there are many things, of course, that Satan is going to use against us. And he can use the feeling of empower. I want to be powerful, and so I don't want to do what people tell me to do. I don't want to do what the authorities tell me to do, because I like that feeling of power. No one's going to tell me what to do. Well, you know, that's what I want. Those are one of those things I want. What is Satan going to use against me? What I want. And he's going to bury a hook in it. And that's how he's going to catch me. And I don't want to do what mom and dad tell me to do. I don't want to do what the law tells me to do. I want to do what I want to do. Well, there is our problem, and there's how we're going to be taken away from God and get into trouble, even perhaps as far as this world is concerned. But this is what Satan does. He draws us away, and he entices us. And in verse 15, it says that when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now here's the idea of the conception that takes place. Here is someone who is sitting here, and he starts to consider his lust. We can do certain things with lust. We can get rid of it. We can decide, I'm not going to let my mind go there. Or we can take and we can embrace our lust so that we come together with our lust. You are my friend, my lust. And my lust then comes and joins with me. And it's like, he used the term here for conception, one definition is here. When two things come together, here's the child they produce. When you and your evil lust come together, there is something that is produced in that. And what he says is, it is sin. When you and your lust come together, when you have embraced your lust, you've held out your arms and said, come to me, my lust. What comes out of that is going to be sinfulness. And so here is what Satan is trying to do against us. He's trying to use our lust because, wow, it feels so good. I love it so much. My lust, of course, it's a lust. It is a desire. I like these things. He's going to use my desire for chocolate against me. He's going to use my desire for friendship against me. He's going to use my desire for power against me. He's going to use everything that he can against me so that I will commit sin. Always remember, Satan is not going to tempt you by what you don't want. You don't want to have anything to do with that, right? Always remember, it's going to be through what you want. And there's where our battle is. Because I want it, I want it. Satan can get into that. And that's where it's up to us to say, nope, I have to let there be something more powerful than my lusts at work. I must have God driving me, not my lusts. Very strong danger that he talks about right here. And there is sin that comes out of it. It gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Here's a picture of a fish who began with his own desires. And who knows what he's doing under the water one day, going about his own business? All he knows is he'd like to eat that good old meal. I wonder if there are any other fish out there I can eat. All of a sudden, this little fish plops down in front of him. And he wants it. And he goes after it. And that fish has a hook in it. That lure has a hook in it. And here he is coming up to the top of the surface. And there's what happens. That's what every fisherman wants to do, right? He wants to build his collection of dead fish. He wants to destroy the fish. Sorry, fishermen, that's what we do, isn't it? We want to go out and destroy some fish today. I enjoy destroying fish, the great fisherman says. You know, might deny, but that's really what it comes down to. What does Satan want to do? This is what Satan wants to do to you. You might be 8 or 10 or 12 years old. Here's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get into your mind and start hooking you very early to get you to follow just the things that you want. And when you desire something and you feel a certain way, just follow that out. However you feel at the moment, just follow it out. And if he can get you to start living that kind of a life, pretty soon he'll be able to get his hook in you, because he'll be getting you to do things that are not right. But the bottom line is, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the devil is a what? Roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. And the truth is, he's not out fishing for fun. The truth is, he wants every one of us in his box. I was going to put up a picture of a cut fillet after this. I didn't put it up there. We know where we go from here. And that's what Satan wants to do to us. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It's what Satan wants to do to all of us. Satan is not our friend. God is our friend and what he wants to do to us. We have to be careful not to bite. Remember Luke, the 15th chapter, that what's known as the prodigal son, or the parable of the loving father. I like both of those go together, but I like the loving father aspect of it, that receives his prodigal son back. I think that's what it's really all about. But in Luke, the 15th chapter, this is really in the text. In Luke 15, we see that there is a young man that comes to his father, and he says, I want to, let me get the right book here. I want, Father, my inheritance. Give me my inheritance, because the truth is he has his eyes somewhere else. And we find out very quickly where his eyes are cast. But down in verse 12, a certain man had two sons. A younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And so the father gave him his livelihood. Now that's just for the story that Jesus is telling, perhaps. But here's a young man that says, okay, I am not happy with living with my dad. I'm not happy with living with my family. I don't like what life has to offer me here. Father, give me blessings. A little bit of irony here. Father, give me blessings so I can leave you and I can go out and spend my blessings in some other way. And that's what he did. And so it was, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with riotous, prodigal living. There's a man who put his eyes somewhere else. There's a man who started wanting some forbidden things. I'd rather live in another country. There's another kind of a life that I could have. Father, I'm going to make this thing happen. Give me my inheritance, and I'm out of here. And so he went. Pretty soon he began to reap what he was sowing, of course. Sometimes beware of what you really want. We as humans need to learn that lesson. He got what he wanted. And he became very hungry, remember, and he wanted to have the food of the swine, which now he found himself taking care of swine, having lost all of his inheritance, and he wanted to even eat the food that they were eating because of it. The bad decision he had made had taken him to a very low spot in his life. This is what sin will do. But we really see James, the first chapter, written all over what this young man did. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we remember that there is no temptation given, but God will also provide the way of escape. Do you remember that? There's no temptation that we have that God will not provide a way of escape. Every single temptation has a way to get out of it. Period. Now, it might cost you your life in some weird, bizarre situation. But there's a way to get out of that temptation. I wonder, as this man has followed out the lure of his life and he's now been hooked, I wonder if we went back and we started thinking about his life. What if he had practiced 1 Corinthians 10:13 and he had said, I know there's a way of escape over this desire that I have. What could he have done? How could this young man have thought about his life and thought about the stuff of his life rather than just giving in to his desires? Can you think of something he could have done? God says there's always a way to escape that. What could he have done to escape that temptation to run away to that evil world over there? Many things. Could he have thought about, maybe I should think about other people. I wonder if my father might need some help here. I wonder if I need to be doing my responsibility here instead of running away. I wonder if that way of thought could have helped him to make a better decision. What if he had said, Father, I feel these temptations for the other world over there. Can you tell me more about these things, Father? And maybe Dad could have sat down and told him the way, how the cow ate the cabbage, you know. Tell him the way that it was, and maybe that could have been something that would have helped him. Could he have been someone who was just truly thinking about the law of God and the respect for God and what his father, who is a very loving father, had to offer him in relationship with his God? He could have put his mind there, right? He could have done a lot of things to create a better decision, to be the foundation of a better decision in his life. But here's the foolishness of what the man did. He said, I just want to follow my desires. Period. And there he went. Oh, it's so sad that that describes 99.9% of all humanity. But it doesn't have to describe you. You see, you don't have to be in Satan's box right here. You don't have to be one of the caught. You can be one of those who makes better decisions because of what you've chosen to think about and use as the foundation of your decision. Yeah, this man, if only he would have stopped and realized, you know, my God can help me to make a better decision here. And if he would have been willing to say, I can make a better decision. If he would have looked at the options, and if he would have put his heart where it belonged, on his God, on his family, he could have found a lot of help, couldn't he? Every one of us has to realize, I'm not a slave to my sin. Oh yes, we can be slaves to our sin. But I'm not handcuffed to my sin with the key thrown away. Sometimes we put a handlock on, you know, the handlock's on us, and we want them on us. I like my slavery to sin. Satan, take me and hold me close. Some people never want to leave that. The truth is, though, for every one of us, there is a key sitting there that God provides to unlock our handcuffs and for us to return to God. And there is a way that wherein we can never even become shackled like that in the first place. There's always a way of thought that can help us to overcome. It's up to us to take that way of thought. How many here know young people that did some dumb things when they were young? Anybody here know somebody who ran drugs when they were young? I do. Does anybody know somebody who, they assaulted someone when they were young? They spent some time in prison? Yeah. Have you ever known, young people to make some not so wise decisions in life? Well, these things are all around us. This is what humans do. But it doesn't have to be what we do. And that's the big bottom line. That's the big foundation in all things. No matter what the world does, I don't have to be a fool just because the world is a fool. God is calling me to a higher wisdom, and here's the beauty of it all. God can give a higher wisdom to an 8-year-old than someone who's 43 years old or whatever it is, living his life. The difference is that an 8-year-old might be saying, Lord, I want to know your will, and the 43-year-old is saying, I'm pretty bent on fulfilling my own will, and I like the foolishness where I am. We can all listen to our God. We can overcome. And it's important us to realize that we never do grow out, of course, the desire for that lure. We all have desires, don't we? But what we have to remember is the Lord my God is the Lord my God. He is my almighty God who has loved me with his whole heart. And the more I think about the love of God, the more I think about the purpose God built into my life, everything that I am to my God and what my God is to me, all of a sudden lust can shrink down to something pretty small. Yeah, lust will never go away. Satan still wants to throw that hook in front of you. Come on. You do want this, don't you? But you know what? You can, through your choices you make, become strong enough to say, my God is more powerful than my lust. And that's what every Christian has to grow to. My God is more powerful than my lust. And I will follow my God through every challenge and every difficulty. And I will be faithful until death. I know he'll give me a crown of life, even though, Revelation 2:10, I have a lust for life. That's a strong lust, isn't it? I want to live. But Revelation Christians were being taught there's a higher principle. You put your mind on your God, you live the wise life, and you choose your God, even over the most precious thing that you desire, and that is living on the face of this earth. We can do these things. I'm going to stop the sermon right now because I can go a long way. I still have more material and I know I'm not going to get through it. So we'll cut this on the short side and we'll come back to it because I want older people, I want young people to realize there's a way that God talks about, a way that God provides that is successful. You see all kinds of people making mistakes and following failure, but it doesn't have to be you. You can be someone like Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember Joseph? You can be someone like Daniel. Do you remember Daniel? You can be like Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? You can be these people. But it really comes back to keeping God where he belongs. Realizing that Satan's going to work on us, but I don't have to let him have his way with me. I can overcome. And I can do this thing, and my God. And maybe that's a great vital foundation right there for every young person to know. I can have victory in my God. I can choose a way of thinking in my life. I can do this as a 10-year-old, as a 12-year-old. You ever see someone 10 or 12 years old very strong in Jesus? I have. Someone 16 years old, 20 years old. very strong in Jesus, and their spirit was already one of overcoming the world. Sir, my God, you can do this. Do it. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, and all your might. You can do this. Let's all do this. Let every one of us be dedicated this week to live a stronger life in Jesus Christ. There are many things we can talk about in obedience to our God, but we realize that there is Satan working on the base level of every single one of us. Let's overcome. Let's be devoted to our God, whatever your age is. Love the Lord your God above anything that great liar and deceiver says that he's going to offer to you. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian. There's water right here. You can enter into Jesus Christ motivated by your faith. I hope that you'll take advantage of this circumstance, this opportunity, become a Christian. What a privilege today to know that you can pray to God. He's going to listen to you. He's going to give you yeses and nos. He's going to look at the world and take what you want and apply it to the world as you are living in your God. And he's going to work on your behalf as you work together in the Lord. What a beautiful thing. All that is just waiting for you to say, I need to become a Christian. I think I'll do it today. Maybe you're ready. Are you ready? Obey the Lord right now. Together we stand and as we sing.
Would you be free?